No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I am your host, your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, on this very special edition of the Rockies Insider, all about Major League Baseball's impending and imminent expansion. We still have a ways to go. Major League Baseball still has plenty of unfinished business to attend to first. How much is it going to cost? And what are the cities that have taken an early lead to quite possibly get one of the next two teams when Major League Baseball expands from 30 to 32 clubs here in the next decade? There was a piece of news that did come out over the course of the last week, and that was Hall of Famer Barry Larkin joining the Orlando Dreamers as their MLB ambassador. Orlando is one of the nine cities that currently has a group put together with various members, various plans, some of which have renderings of ballparks, even some even have purchased land or are in the process of purchasing a site for which their ballpark will be located. Orlando Dreamers are front and center in that conversation. It's a group that was co-founded in 2019 by Pat Williams, a name you might recognize as being a former executive with the NBA's Orlando Magic. He unfortunately passed away last summer, but that has only given further credence and further ambition for this group to go forward and try to get an expansion club. I was going to save some of this conversation for later, but Orlando came very close to getting expansion club in 1998. You could argue that they had the second best bid, or they were the second best group, but with the first being Tampa, Major League Baseball simply didn't want two teams in the same state that were really about 2 hours apart drive time. So despite having a really good bid together, Orlando was not selected in either of the 93 and 98 expansion clubs. Barry Larkin did say in a press release that it became immediately apparent that Orlando has the most compelling market in the country and could be the next MLB franchise location. At this stage of my career, nothing could be more exciting than being a key part of this effort in my adopted home of Orlando, Florida. Now, in this introductory press conference, the Orlando group is also open to pursuing the Tampa Bay Rays because the Rays stadium situation is still so unknown. It's still up in the air, and perhaps the best way Orlando could get a major league team is by taking one that already exists in Florida, because it does become really hard with Orlando making their case with Tampa so close, so nearby. Say what you will about the two franchises, the Rays and the Marlins. They have not brought in a ton of money, but they have been good citizens. They've been good clubs for MLB's 30. They have done that. The Rays doing it one way, on the cheap, analytics-driven. They've been successful over the last 15-plus years, whereas the Marlins continue to go through fire sale after fire sale. And despite the fact they've got one of the newer ballparks in MLB, they just don't draw fans. But they do tick off a box of being in a major market like Miami. So Orlando definitely has some work ahead of them. Mikey in the chat over on YouTube, Wild the Innocent, asking, what cities were Denver and Miami up against over 30 years ago that are still trying? That's a good question. I'm going to talk about expansion here. 1961 was the first year that that ended up going down. Before that, it was just 16 teams. That was it. That was all you had. And there was, in fact, a reason that I'll get to in a moment as to why Major League Baseball ultimately decided that they needed to expand just a little bit. So those are some of the interesting different topics, different scenarios worth going through. 10 of the cities in 1990, when the 1990 CBA was ratified, 10 of the different cities at that time that were considered to be serious candidates. I don't know if all of them had groups that were put together, but you had Buffalo, Charlotte, Denver, Miami, Nashville, Orlando, Phoenix, Sacramento, Tampa Bay, and Washington, D.C. Also, of course, you know, you did have the new ballpark that at the time was Florida Suncoast Dome. Now we know it to be Tropicana Field. That was built in St. Petersburg in hopes of getting one of these expansion franchises. A lot of people probably don't realize that despite the fact that the Rays are one of the newer teams. In fact, they were, you could argue, you know, either Team 29 or Team 30, they have one of the 10 oldest ballparks in the game because Tropicana Field was built before a team was even there. So all the teams that I mentioned, I'm going to either mention today, or they got an expansion franchise, or they had a team move into their metro area. So a lot of interesting scenarios and angles to look at, but a lot still needs to be done in order to Major League Baseball to sign off and say, yes, we are ready to now go to 32 teams. Isaac, thanks for joining me in the chat as always. So what has to happen for expansion to go down? Commissioner Rob Manfred has been saying for the last several years, I want to say 2017 was the first time that that idea was really broached. And despite expansion still, you know, we still might be 5+ years away. I'll get to that in a moment. Rob Manfred did say that expansion is an inevitability. Might not be imminent, but it is an inevitability. He would love to announce expansion before his contract expires. He's looking to retire when his contract is up in January of 2029. That'll be somewhere in the middle of the next CBA, which ends in 2026. So you hammer out the details of expansion, and it allows you to start to plan for teams 31 and 32. But that also means we could still be 10 years away from that expansion. So what needs to happen for baseball to really say we are ready for it? Because they are not ready for it. There are easily two cities that are ready to expand baseball. Easily two cities that could welcome two new ball clubs, build a new stadium, build that infrastructure. Those cities and many more already. But Major League Baseball itself is not ready. There's some unfinished business that needs tending to. 1A and 1B are the A's and the Rays. One of the key reasons why you have to get the A's and the Rays settled is so that when it comes time for expansion, and when it comes time to say, here's how much it's going to cost to get one of these expansion franchises, no group and no billionaire out there will be able to just go buy a team and move it to the city of their choice. Everyone will be settled. One of the reasons why the A's are going through what they're going through is because they weren't able to extract a brand new stadium from the city of Oakland. So they are still in the process of doing that for Las Vegas. That still looks like it's good to go, but I wouldn't even say that we are at the 100th percentile that is official. Until that goes down, it might not go down. The Rays are dealing with the same thing. They thought they had a deal, and they did not. And it seems as if that continues to fall through. So once you've got every team in place, and once you have every team that is satisfied with their ballpark, that is another key element to this, because some of the leverage that teams are able to do or able to utilize is say, you know what? We'd love for these renovations to get paid for by the city. Maybe we'll go 50-50 on that, or we do need a new ballpark. And if you don't want to give us one, that's okay, because there are other cities out there that we can move to. That becomes an option. And as soon as that option is off the table, because the teams are all good and the stadiums are all good, now all of a sudden you can look to the outside and say, all right, here is the price. Mexico, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, one of those is on my list of 20 teams that could possibly find itself in the conversation for an expansion club coming up here. But again, you have to get the A's and Rays settled. You've got some other issues that are looming. When it comes to the Rays, we know that the Tropicana Field was damaged by Hurricane Milton. We still don't know if it's going to be playable in 2026, 2025. They got to play in a minor league ballpark in the low A affiliate of the New York Yankees. The A's are also playing in a minor league ballpark, but it does look like they are going to have themselves a big league stadium before the Rays do. So once that gets sorted out, and it doesn't, you don't even have to have those two teams open up a brand new facility somewhere in order to announce expansion. You just have to have the ball rolling. And as much as it seems, as much as it seemed that the ball's been rolling for the Rays, it continues to come to a stop. You have to build so much momentum in order to say, we've got this. There's a shovel in the ground. All the bills have been paid in 2 years' time, 3 years, whatever it may be. We will definitively have a stadium. So until that day comes, nothing is guaranteed. So as I said, once the musical chairs stops, at least the city edition of musical chairs, and you can't just go up and buy a franchise and move it wherever you want, then you can go and expand. From now until the time that they make the decision to expand Major League Baseball to 32 teams, some other things may rear their nasty head. The Diamondbacks may need to figure out their ballpark situation. Chase Field, pretty darn old, 1998, their first year. And they need to have major renovations done, which is something that the city has balked at. Or they need to get a new ballpark, or in a worst case scenario, end up like the Arizona Coyotes and move to Utah. I don't know if the Diamondbacks are moving to Utah, but they may have to move somewhere else. That is certainly part of that negotiation. I don't think Ken Kendrick wants to do something like that. I don't think they want to tear a team away from Phoenix, which is a great market. But I think you need to use that leverage. I do know of owners calling up the commissioner and saying, hey, I want to talk about this city. Montreal has been one of those cities. Vegas has been one of those cities. For many years, for decades, Denver was a city that teams would use as a catalyst. They would use that to say, you know what? If you don't pay for these renovations of this ballpark, or you don't get us a new ballpark altogether, we're going to go take our business to Denver. Denver was utilized as that city that was on deck for expansion. And there have been owners in the past that have called the commissioner to say, you know what, let's talk a little bit. Let's kick the tires on Vegas. Let's kick the tires on Montreal so that when they do go back and negotiate with their city, they can say, hey, just so you know, I've talked with the commissioner about City A, City B, City C, in order to get what they want. That has happened. That's just good business, right? That's just good negotiating. So that's one of those things that could, again, rear its head if the Diamondbacks don't end up getting what they want. Rockies, because of that stadium situation with the Rays, they are not going to have a game on opening day. They're going to have their own version of opening day, but it's going to be one day after on March 28th, on Friday, March 28th, one day after the other 28 teams play their games. Just kind of how it ends up going, right? Kansas City, if we're talking about ballparks that need to get sorted out. Kansas City wanted a downtown ballpark. Since Kauffman Stadium is the fifth oldest in the majors, it's going to be 52 years old. And while there's been a ton of history there, and there are going to be tens, if not hundreds of thousands of Royals fans and baseball fans that are going to be really sad when the day comes for Kauffman Stadium to get torn down or to be used for something different, could also stick around in some capacity there's not the same amount of history and reverence as a baseball cathedral as the Fenway Parks, the Wrigley Fields, Dodger Stadium. All of those, again, are these meccas of baseball and baseball history. So Kansas City was in the process of getting that new ballpark for 2028. There was a vote last April, but voters rejected the sales tax. Now, what they're going to do next, it's still not clear. There's even been some discussion that they can move across the river to Kansas City, Kansas, if they can get some land there, if they can get a good deal there. But I think that would be that would be awful for those who are actually in Kansas City proper. You would love for Kansas City to work that out with the Royals. But again, business is business. The Royals, while they've always been in Kansas City hasn't always been a Royals town. First, it was the Kansas City Athletics who moved there from Philadelphia. Then Charlie Finley moved the team to Oakland. So despite the fact that the Royals have always been in Kansas City has not always been a Royals town. Angel Stadium turns 60 years old in 2026. White Sox are working on a new ballpark as Rate Field, formerly Guaranteed Rate Field. You might also call it New Comiskey. It's going to be 35 years old next year. Now, it was only built in 1991. Some of you who are listening to this, you're going, oh, that was before I was even born. Okay, fair enough. But it was only built in 1991. Keep in mind, that was the last ballpark before Camden Yards changed the game, changed how we viewed ballparks as these living baseball cathedrals. Guaranteed Rate does not have any of that charm. I don't want to sound too critical of it, but for me, for someone who, besides covering baseball, I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. I'm a baseball addict. And before I started doing this, and I went on a road trip with my dad, we went to 4 ballparks in 4 days. One of those 4 was Wrigley Field. We had a great time. And then the next year, we ran it back and did 7 games in 7 days all across the Midwest. When it came time to come through Chicago, the decision was, do we go to Wrigley Field again, or do we check off Comiskey on our list? We went to Wrigley again, so I've still never seen a game at Comiskey, at the new Comiskey, at Rate Field, and I don't feel too bad about that. I'd love to get there. I've never got to Oakland Coliseum, but bottom line is, for a lot of baseball fans, you'd probably rather go to about 4 or 5 Cubs games for every 1 White Sox game. And yeah, sure, right now you're talking about a team that lost 121 games, but all things being equal, Wrigley Field is a much better facility, especially after their renovations. And it's just a much better experience overall for a baseball fan. It has history that Rate Field does not have. So all of those stadium situations, you could argue, are powder kegs. They've got to work those out. It wasn't a good look, as pointed out in the chat, that during the WBC, the roof was closed and people were getting wet during the World Baseball Classic in 2023. It's a roof. Something's clearly wrong there. They've had issues in the past with not being able to open, close the roof during the game. They have to handle that before or after. A decision has to be made early. So not ideal in any way, not ideal in any shape or form. Also in the chat, I want Raleigh. You might be surprised. I'm going to get to these 9 cities. Not only is Raleigh on the list of 20 cities in North America that could end up with a team when MLB decides to expand, but they are one of 9 groups that have been put together in cities around the U.S. to try to attract Major League Baseball. So if you're making a top 10 list, Raleigh has to be on that top 10 list. Mikey's saying Nashville, New Orleans, and San Antonio. All 3 of those are in my top 20. Only one of those, I think, is a viable situation for Major League Baseball. I'll tell you why here in just a little bit. But you just have to hope that those situations are fine. There could be other ones. I don't think so. I think all the rest of the ballpark situations would not be nearly as dire for us in Denver. Coors Field and the Rockies, totally fine, zero issues. The ballpark's been kept up really well. There was a 30-year lease that was signed less than a decade ago, so there's no plans to leave Denver whatsoever. Dodger Stadium and Wrigley Field, they've just had renovations recently, so they're going to be fine for the next decade plus. Rogers Center just underwent major renovations. Camden Yards, Progressive Fields, that they've both been maintained very well. Fenway Park, you never know. Fenway Park could be one of those, but Boston is not a place where they are going to mess around. They will make sure the Red Sox stay there. They will make sure that something gets figured out. You hope they don't have to move out to Foxborough like the Patriots, but they'll figure that out. But Fenway Park, it's a tough spot. It's a tough spot to figure out. I could even imagine a scenario in which, just thinking now off the top of my head, whereby Major League Baseball, could Major League Baseball buy Fenway Park and make it similar to the Field of Dreams game? Could they make it something like the Little League Classic? I don't know that that's going to happen in the next 10, 15, 20 years. But if in 50 years from now you said the Red Sox don't play at Fenway Park anymore, but they do go back and visit and teams do go play there, they might not be from Massachusetts at all. You could get Vancouver versus Portland at Fenway Park in the Fenway game, in the Fenway series. That's the kind of iconic ballpark, an iconic facility that they've got there down in the Fens. So that one I'm not as worried about, but nevertheless, you've got to get the ballpark situations handled. Another question mark is, how is Major League Baseball going to handle the RSN situations that are currently brewing? Those regional sports networks, does that have to get settled first before they're able to expand? I don't necessarily think so. Again, it's a situation that continues to evolve. It hasn't been anything that's blown up in their face necessarily. It's not ideal to have the Padres, Diamondbacks, and Rockies just on MLB.TV, like just being broadcast by Major League Baseball and just a bare bones kind of setup. Not great, but it's something. It's definitely better than nothing. And I think those people who subscribe to that and they pay for that service, I think for the most part, they're actually pretty happy. They would like a little bit more in Colorado. You know, the club is just something that's just not around anymore, where they would go in and do these sit-down one-on-one interviews with players and they'd mic them up and it was dynamic. It was great. You got to know the players a lot better. You got to know a lot of the people behind the scenes and in the organization a lot better. That is now gone because the RSN failed the Rockies. So they're just on Rockies.TV. That's a shame. But you can continue to go about your business as normal. So I don't think the RSN situation is totally going to ruin anything. Another Canada team. I've got two on the list. But as Mikey likes to say, U.S. better than Canada. There's one team in Canada. There's one city in Canada that already has a group. Another city that is sleeping right now. But nevertheless, two teams from Canada will have a chance. And I'm curious with how much the conversation for expansion is going to impact the next CBA after the 2026 season. One of the things that both sides typically like to do, and usually Major League Baseball, the 30 owners, do a better job at this, or they're more aggressive in looking at a scenario and situation and saying, We're thinking about doing this, but we know how much it's going to benefit you. They want to do it. Major League Baseball would love to do it and expand to 32 teams. But they might spin it to say, you know, that does create 52 new jobs, 52 new roster spots in the majors for you and your players association. How badly do you want that? Because if you want it badly, you're going to have to give some things over to us. Or we've got some ideas of doing business slightly differently. That's what's going to be at stake with this next CBA. I don't know how much expanding is a factor in this idea that we could be in for another work stoppage. The idea has even been floated that perhaps we might lose an entire 2027 season. I pray to God that that doesn't happen. But again, depending on how the conversation goes with expansion, because it benefits both parties, I think pretty equally, you could argue that it benefits the billionaires a lot more than it affects the millionaires. This could be a negative issue when this next CBA ends. One of the reasons why this benefits the owners, I feel, a lot more than it does the players. Again, each individual player who's in the union, they would like to do certain things that benefit the union, but creating 52 new jobs doesn't necessarily take care of the union members that currently exist. Hey, I want to take care of the union members that are here right now with us, not the fictional 52 that could be coming if with there's expansion. Because when it comes to the owner side, when they get the expansion fee, that gets split amongst all 30 owners, all 30 teams. I really appreciate everybody joining me. Maybe I'll see you on Saturday. Our Sabre Day celebration is going down. It's at Stanley Beer Hall. Swing on by. I think we get started about 9:30. The beer hall opens at 9:30 is when we'll start going with the festivities. I'll be hosting a conversation with Mark Knudsen, who has a book, Pitching on the Corners, with a teammate of his, Don August, talking about his playing career over in Asia. Manny Randhawa is going to be talking about his book, The Blake Street Bombers. We'll have copies that are there that we're going to be giving out. It's a free event. Come hang out. It's one of the few free events going on in the Denver area. We got a little trivia contest going on that you can either participate in or not. Do it anonymously. Have some fun. Be around some really great baseball people. Maybe some other surprise guests showing up as well. So should be another really fun weekend, as we are a week away. Next Thursday is when pitchers and catchers are reporting for those Colorado Rockies. A couple teams a day or two before that as well. So appreciate you joining me. Appreciate the momentum. But as I like to say, momentum, it's only as good as your next show. So of course, I'll talk to you then.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.